My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday night get-together on CBS Sports Radio. You know, we'll be bopping around the league trying to get in as many team previews as we can. We're heading down to the Bayou for our next one. Jordan Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Will the Rockets blare in New Orleans this year? Well, there's a couple of things that will depend on. Here to give us the insight on them, he covers the Saints for WLL.com down here in on the Bayou. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak here for the next couple of minutes on the upcoming season for the New Orleans Saints. Jeff, Jordy Mack here. How you doing? How's your summer finishing up?
I'm doing good, yeah. Well, you say finishing up, but down in Louisiana, summer just does not end. Summer, it's like 8 months of summer and then 4 months of something else. So we still got it. It was 80 degrees today, and I was like, man, this is so nice.
Nice.
I'm surviving. I've been here for about 6 years now, so I've acclimated. We're making it through.
Were you prior to a northerner like the foolish host who didn't give you accolades for your entire summer season down there in New Orleans?
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut, and then I lived in South Carolina for 4 years. So I lived in Massachusetts for a little bit. So I've just been like slowly moving down. It's still, you know, my blood is too thin from growing up with snow that I don't think I will ever fully be able to, you know, not hate everything for a couple months out of the year. But yeah, that's part of the deal when you don't have to shovel a driveway.
Yes, 60 years on this planet for yours truly, never lived south of the Mason-Dixon line. So I would be afflicted just like yourself. But you got to be enjoying yourself down there because the Saints have had a pretty good offseason and a pretty good start to their training camp, but certainly a different one because the last 16 years it had been a Sean Payton-led training camp. How is it different with a stay-within-the-family, Dennis Allen-led Saints training camp this year?
Yeah, it is kind of strange because we got so used to Sean Payton, Drew Brees, that every offseason was kind of this ho-hum. You know the offense is going to be good. You know what to expect from Drew, the receivers. He's going to elevate some receivers that you might not have heard of. And this year, it's a lot different. You know, you brought in Jarvis Landry. You're getting Michael Thomas back. You have a new head coach, but he's a defensive head coach. So the offensive coordinator now takes a front, you know, like a much more prominent role in the offense. And then, you know, obviously Alvin Kamara kind of has suspension hanging over his head. We don't know exactly what's going to happen there. So it has been kind of a very eventful training camp because we're getting to know a lot more about this new staff. But it's all been coming together. Jameis Winston is the real, you know, kind of wild card for what this team, I think, can do at its upper ceiling, right? And he's been healthy throughout camp. He's dealing with a foot injury now. So we haven't seen him yet in the preseason, but from what we saw throughout camp, it was good. And you know, I'm ready for the regular season. The training camp grind always drags on forever, and then the season gets here and it's all go.
when Sean Payton walked away at the end of last season, there was some good speculation as to who might be the next coach of the Saints. Dennis Allen was always on the top of the list and ended up getting the job. But how close was it, if at all, that someone from outside the organization was going to come in and replace Payton?
I mean, I wouldn't say it ever got that close. I mean, they brought in people for interviews. They did their due diligence, and I think they probably knew that Dennis was the front runner, and then going through the interviews, it kind of drove home that kind of idea, because this team this franchise really values continuity, right? And if you go with an outside hire, you have to let that new hire kind of create his own staff. So, you know, you might have a head coach that didn't want to retain Dennis Allen or Pete Carmichael or a lot of these position coaches who have been very, very good under Sean Payton. And so I think that, you know, the entire way it was kind of, you know, if someone blows us out of the water, you know, maybe things change. But it was, I felt all along it was Dennis's job to lose because he was going to be able to maintain, you know, Ryan Nielsen and Chris Richard are the co-defensive coordinators. Pete Carmichael's still the offensive coordinator. Ronald Curry is the quarterback's coach. And I think being able to retain that staff is going to help. Like, there's this kind of idea that Sean Payton not being in the building is going to cost this team this season. And I think you kind of mitigate that by having all these Sean Payton disciples still in the building. And I think that was as big of a reason as any as why it just made the most sense to keep him around.
Jeff Nowak from WLL.com, our guest, helping us preview the Saints for the upcoming 2022 season. All right, you said Jameis looked good in the preseason before camp opened up work, but has had nagging injuries. That's nothing new to Jameis Winston. And last year, the Saints got off to the good start, but then Jameis went down, and the season kind of took a couple steps backwards. What are they doing to make sure he gets to week one and, hey, you can get injured walking off a curb, but what steps are they taking to try and keep him upright and in the lineup for all 17 games?
Yeah, so Jameis's knee injury is obviously the kind of, you know, elephant in the room of, okay, how much is that going to affect him this year? He's been, you know, a beast in rehab the entire offseason. He made sure to get out there for the first set of OTAs, which I wasn't expecting. I was expecting to see him at minicamp, if anything. He did not miss a single practice throughout OTAs, throughout minicamp. He had a little bit of a kind of a limp at first, but that kind of dissipated as he got used to the knee brace. And so I think what you're seeing now is kind of what you're talking about. This, he had a minor foot injury, and they kept him out of practice for, I want to say, 5 days. He hasn't played in either preseason game. I don't know if he would have anyway, based on what we've seen with the other players. He got back to practice for the second joint practice against the Packers, but he didn't participate in team drills. And that's been one of the bigger changes for the Saints this offseason. They fired the longtime strength and conditioning coach and brought in Matt Ray as kind of the new sports science director. And they're taking a much more scientific approach to injuries and recovery. And it's been frustrating to watch at times because you see these guys have these very, very long ramp up processes. But I think you can look and see the injury totals, like serious injuries, are way down. They haven't had any major injuries in either preseason game. And I think that when you're talking about a team that had 58 different starters last year, that was an NFL record, there's no ideas or bad ideas. And I think what this team and this kind of new staff is projecting is, you know, we might lose some practice time, but making sure that everyone is as healthy as possible is more important than those extra few reps that you're kind of grinding through in practice. But overall, we haven't really seen too many issues from Jameis Winston. He didn't have any kind of limp throughout any of the drills we watched up until kind of that kind of foot. We don't even know exactly what it was. It's something to do with his foot, maybe a sprain. But I don't expect that to limit him. I'd like to see him out there for the final preseason game, but even if he doesn't, I don't think that's too much of an indicator either way, because like I said, they're being very, very cautious with when they bring people back.
When Jameis went down last year, it was a rotating group of Taysom Hill, Ian Book, Trevor Siemian, who had to come in and keep the ship upright. They didn't do a great job of it last year. How much better suited are the Saints if Jameis goes down again with the Red Rifle as their backup quarterback?
Yeah, so last year you really got kind of a trial by fire for a lot of these quarterbacks. Trevor Siemian came in and he was the first line of quarterbacks. He played four games. He started four games. He lost all four. Then at that point, Taysom Hill, I think Taysom probably would have been the first guy off the bench, but he was dealing with a concussion at that point. Then he came in and he actually went 4-1 down the stretch of the season before getting hurt himself. Ian Book got in week 16, which was this crazy COVID game against the Dolphins where they were down 20 starters and it was just a travesty. Shouldn't have been played at all. But, you know, that's kind of how that went. And so I think that's why this year you saw the Saints really prioritize bringing in a top end backup. And that signing, you know, it's not a major signing, but it is probably going to be what cost them a third round comp pick next year with Marcus Williams and Teron Armstead departing, because those cancel each other out. And so you paid a premium for Andy Dalton. And in his defense, he has looked very good in camp. He has a really good grasp of the offense. He only led one series in the opening preseason game. He didn't play in the week two, but he went 5 for 5, 51 yards, and hit Dwayne Washington on a touchdown pass. And I think if you're a person that's concerned about Jameis Winston's knee and kind of the long-term health, having him there is a really good safety security blanket. It's a guy you know isn't going to get rattled, because I think that's what happened with Trevor Siemian a little bit last year. It seemed at points he was rattled, especially against the Bills on Thanksgiving. It was not pretty. And you just know you have a guy who's going to be consistent. And when you're looking at a team with, I would argue, a top five defense pretty safely with some of the players they have in the secondary and the defensive line with all those first-round picks on it. That's really all you need is consistency. They went 4-1 with Taysom Hill last year down the stretch. All they did was not turn the ball over. That was the offense. Don't turn the ball over. And the defense won you games. They shut out the Bucks 9-0 with Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. And that's how you can win games if you have to. And that's why I think having Andy Dalton, a guy you know is going to run the offense the way you need to, that's a big, big addition, even if he never gets on the field. Ideally, he never gets on the field at all, but you do feel comfortable if you have to go to him, I think.
Do want to get to that defense, but don't want to leave the offense just yet. Michael Thomas out all last year, has returned, is practicing. He was arguably right there at the top of the wide receiver list in the entire National Football League, certainly top five, maybe top three, and they got nothing out of him. Back, looking good in practice. They added Jarvis Landry. They drafted Chris Olave. Yeah, Jameis, if he can stay healthy, he's got a chance to put a lot of yards up, because this is a good wide receiver group that the Saints have if Thomas is back at the top of his game.
Yeah, I mean, you basically overhauled the wide receiver room because Mike was never there last year. So your top three receivers last year are now 4, 5, 6 behind, you know, MT, Olave, and Jarvis Landry. And I think bringing in Jarvis was partially because, you know, they were able to get him for 1 year, $6 million. That's, I think any team in the league would say, yeah, Jarvis, you can come play for us for $6 million in a one-year deal with no long-term commitment. And so, yeah, that's going to be something that we watch and kind of see, okay, how close to the Michael Thomas we remember is the guy we are seeing. It was interesting because he didn't get on the field at all during OTAs, during minicamp. The plan all along was training camp. But then right before training camp, you know, the news breaks, oh, he's going to start on the PUP list. So all the media gets out there for the first day of camp. And I don't know if he was hiding behind somebody, but, like, we're all kind of just taking attendance as you do. And all of a sudden, number 13 just sprints out to the edge during the walkthrough and catches a pass and just kind of, like, flexes. And we're like, what? Like, it was this, like, kind of ridiculous reveal that was kind of really – it was exciting. You know, I haven't seen that guy in a year and a half. We hadn't talked to him in almost 2 years. So – And like you said, you know, if he wasn't number one in the wide receiver mark, or, you know, kind of rankings, he was up in the top three. He had 149 receptions in 2019. It's an NFL record that Cooper Kupp couldn't break with 17 games last year in his ridiculous season. And so I think that's probably the biggest story on offense, behind maybe you lose Alvin Kamara for 6 games. Can Michael Thomas be anywhere near what he was? Because if you can, and then you have that defense across from you, that's a game changer. But the weird thing is, Jameis has been on this team. This is his third season. He has not completed a pass to Michael Thomas in a game. It has not happened, as bizarre as that sounds. So we still don't really know what that connection is going to look like. Jameis has always been a guy who likes to air it out. And I think with Olave, with Jontae Hardy, there are some really attractive deep options that you can go to, but he's going to have to learn to take that free money and get the ball to Kamara in the flat, get the ball to MT on whatever route he's able to run and get open, because that's what these receivers do better than anybody else, I think, is just get open. They're not going to blow you away with speed. They're not going to take the top off the defense, but they are going to create separation and they're going to make contested catches. And those are the throws that Jameis, I don't think, has excelled on throughout his career. And that's what he's going to have to do for this offense to be successful, I think.
All right, let's flip it over to the defense. When you lose a safety like Marcus Williams, Pro Bowl level, all pro level safety, you think there's going to be a massive drop off, but they go out and get the Honey Badger, more wear on the tires than Williams, but certainly a top flight safety still at this stage of his career. And I'm a Marcus May fan from the Jets. I thought he played well enough for New York. They decided to go in another direction. Did they do enough to replace Marcus Williams in the secondary?
Well, keep in mind, it's not just Marcus Williams. Malcolm Jenkins also retired, who I had a ton of respect for Malcolm Jenkins' game. He was a very, very effective, strong safety, even late in his career. So you were replacing both starting safeties. And safety is not a complicated position, but it is a position where you have to have, you know, almost kind of like telepathy, and you have to be able to play off each other and know what the other guy's going to do. The Saints play a lot of two-man defense, which means man-to-man on the outsides, which you have to cover corners to do it, and then you have two deep safeties who are kind of patrolling half the field. And so they need to be able to play off each other. And, you know, it took a while to get Marcus May back on the field. He's recovering from an Achilles injury. Tyron was out for the first week of camp dealing with family stuff, so it was a bit of a slow kind of build into that relationship. And I'm still not sure what it's going to look like. I think we might see some struggles in terms of just getting to know each other. I think that's natural with a brand new kind of safety tandem on the back end. And that's why I think, you know, that week 2 matchup with the Bucs is going to be tough if Tom Brady shows up and is Tom Brady, because they're still going to be kind of finding their way. But, you know, I have so much respect for Tyrann Mathieu and the way he goes about his game. It's really cool to have him back in New Orleans. When he came out of LSU, he was dealing with a lot of personal stuff, and you know, he would be the first to tell you that going to New Orleans and playing professional football in New Orleans as a young player would have been bad for him in terms of just, you know, some of the influences that were going to have happened. And so he's later in his career, he's a 10-year veteran now, and he's a more mature guy. He's learned a lot. And now he's the guy who's kind of bringing those life lessons into the locker room. So when you can replace a Malcolm Jenkins with a Tyrann Mathieu, you're doing a pretty good job. And so I don't know. It's always tough because Marcus Williams was more of a free safety. Like, he wasn't playing strong. He was going to be in center field. And I don't think that's necessarily what Dennis Allen wanted to do. He likes to use the term multiplicity. They want to be able to shift Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu. Sometimes Marcus is going to be playing free, sometimes he's going to be playing strong, and the same is going to go for Tyrann. And so I'm really interested to see how that kind of looks. And like I said, we have not seen basically any of the starters in the preseason, so we're going exclusively on practice reps, which, you know, there's no tackling, it's not full speed. So I don't think until week 1, you know, maybe we see a lot of these guys out there in week 3, but until week 1, I don't think anyone really knows just how good that's going to look. But it does help when you have Marshawn Lattimore and Paulson Adebo on the other side, who has been the star of camp so far, because you're going to have a hard time getting a lot done on the edges of this defense.
If it's definitively been stated and you know, please tell me, because I'm not sure that I know, who's going to be calling the plays from the sidelines for the defense on this coaching staff? I got the feeling that could we have too many cooks spoiling the broth on the defensive side with the head coach and a couple defensive coordinators?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So Dennis Allen says that he is going to continue calling the plays, and which is interesting because you have a co-defensive coordinator set up. So Chris Richard is handling the secondary, Ryan Nielsen is handling the defensive line, and then Michael Hodges is the linebacker coach. He's, for whatever reason, you don't have tri-defensive coordinators, but he's a very important person as well. And so I think that it's going to be interesting to watch, because Dennis Allen is a new head coach. He's been a head coach before, but I think one pitfall that, you know, new head coaches end up having to be aware of is taking on too much and not delegating enough, not trusting the guys around you, because I think that there is a scenario where, you know, some of the head coaching duties, some of the larger perspective stuff gets lost in the wash when you're busy calling the defensive plays. And I think that Ryan Nielsen getting that action in the preseason, he's been calling the plays the first 2 weeks of the preseason. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something, if the defense has a couple rough games, if maybe you switch that up. But for what we know right now, Dennis Allen is going to call the defensive plays in the preseason finale, and that is the plan for the regular season, if he's going to call the defensive plays with Pete Carmichael taking over as the offensive play caller.
All right. You mentioned week two against the Buccaneers, who the Saints always find a way to beat. Even Tom Brady led or not, they usually beat them once in the regular season at least. They get them week two.
Playoffs.
The playoffs are another issue. But they open at Atlanta and the next week at Carolina. So three divisional games to get the season going. Home Minnesota, home Seattle, who doesn't look real good. Other than the Tampa matchup, and you got that one in your house, that's not a daunting start to the season. How fast do the Saints have to start if they want to compete with Tampa throughout all 18 weeks?
Yeah, it's not a daunting start, but that also means that you can't afford to start slowly, because this schedule really starts to get difficult in the kind of middle stretch. So you really need to win at least two of those games. I think you could start 2-1 and feel okay about it. You can't go 1-2. Because then you go to London to play the Vikings. The Saints have traditionally done well in London, so I feel good about their chances there. But then they come back on a short week. Well, not a short week, but they come back with that kind of jet lag travel to host Seattle. And then, you know, you have a game against the Bengals with Joe Burrow coming to town. It's going to be a lot of energy for that. Then you have Arizona on a short week. So, like, if you don't start 4-1, maybe 3-2, you could easily be way too far behind in the standings as you get to the final stretch, because the final stretch is kind of like the beginning of the season. You have a lot of division matchups and you should do fare pretty well. But if you don't start well and you leave yourself having to find wins in the, you know, the Cardinals, Raiders, Ravens, Steelers, Rams, 49ers, Bucks stretch of the season, you're asking for trouble. So I think conservatively speaking, you want to see 4-1 at the worst after the first 5 weeks.
They need to get out of the blocks quickly. If they do, they got a chance to have a real nice season.
They did that last year. They started 5-2 last year.
Yeah, and then unfortunately Jameis went down and the rotating quarterbacks, the carousel of quarterbacks started. We'll see if Jameis can stay upright on the field and give the Saints a chance to be a playoff team. Jeff, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. You gave us a real nice breakdown. Enjoy your season and the ongoing summer in New Orleans.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Jeff Nowak from WLL.com, covering the Saints in New Orleans these days, a former Northerner like yours truly. Yeah, summer for me is 3 months. That's it. It's not even 3 months. They've got summer all year down there on the bayou. All right, Jody Mack coming back. We put the Saints in the mix. We continue our previews of the teams in the National Football League. You hop aboard and talk about your team at 855-212-4227. We're talking football here on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.